Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to choose a passage which would hopefully give chizuk after Shavuos, also after hopefully we're moving out of the corona, Be'ezrat Hashem Yisbarach. Things seem to be seeing better, people are mixing, people are going to shul, and to try and take us further into the next kufa, Mitzvah Hashem, leading us up to Yomim Noiroim. A chizuk and inspiration, I hope, from the times, based on the parasha, based on a theme which I saw inside Rabbeinu Bachai. Let me read it out to you from Rabbeinu Bachai. It's Perek Ches Pasuk Beis in Rabbeinu Bachai. On the second page, he says as follows. I'll read it out to you. Shibas HaNeirot. Inyan HaMenorah Ne'elam Ma'oid. The topic of the menorah is a very hidden, elevated theme. It's a pele, but who play? It's a wonder what's behind it. What's behind the message of the menorah? And he brings a moshul that, from the Medrash, the Baruch Hashem brings a moshul. What's the purpose of the Or? Moshul, Mahadova Doimer, Lemelech Shahoyeloi Oyhej, to a king who had a beloved servant, who was very close with him, a close confidant. Omalei HaMelech, the Melech said, Habeyodea She'etzlocha Anisoid, I'm coming to your area, to your town, so I'd like to come and eat with you. I'd like you to entertain me. I'd like to come and eat in your house. Hiskin loy hamokon. They fixed the time. Holach the hiskin kapikoichos. Of course, the minister, the beloved servant of the king, did as best as he could to make the most exquisite, magnificent banquet as best as he could. And he prepared everything. And the king arrived. By here I am, the king arrived. Kevin Shabar Melech, Bo Imoy. Once the king arrived with all his entourage, the whole procession of the king, all the ministers, all the preparations that made Shamoshim, the Sakhalatin, Mikan. And the king came in with all his officers and all the ministers were with him. Umenoira Shozov, Mikan, and big lights, and everything was set up, ready for the splendor, the glory of His Majesty. Once the servant, the beloved friend of the king, saw all this, Mitbayesh, he became unbelievably embarrassed. The hitman is Komasha Hiskin. And he put aside all his meal that he had prepared. He was too embarrassed to serve him whatever he was serving him. I know, tuna fish or cottage cheese, I don't know. Whatever he was serving him, he was too embarrassed. He couldn't do it. He couldn't bring it out. It upset him too much. He couldn't do it. And therefore, Lo Amati, the king said to him, it's the chami, sorry, but 1 minute, I said I would eat with you. Why don't you prepare me? You didn't prepare anything for me? Lo Amalo his kantabikum, said the king to the servant. Why didn't you prepare anything? I said I was coming to you. Omale Adoni HaMelech. So the Ohev said to the king, your master, I'll be honest with you. I prepared as best as I could, as much as I could. But once I saw the whole entourage and the whole procession, all the king's horses and all the king's men and all the lights and everything that you came, Nisbayashti, I became so embarrassed. I put aside and hid all that I prepared. I was too embarrassed to serve you, because what I had in no way matches the glory of the honor of the king. No, that's not the purpose of my visit. I'm not coming to show you my glory. I'm not coming to show you my majesty. I'm only come here, I came to make you feel good. I wanted to be because you love me so much. I don't want my honor. This is the way I travel. But in reality, I wanted you to entertain me. And whatever you can do for me is the best. Kacha Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we find, of course, the Nimsha is a beautiful Nimsha. Kulay Ora. Kodesh Baruch Hu is Kulay Ora. Yoitza Ama Ora. He created all the lights in the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu asked for a Menoira. He doesn't need the light. Radita told me. Kevin Sha also Moshe. When Moshe made the Mishkan of Menoira, Vah Shechina. He was too embarrassed to come in. Moshe and he couldn't come in. Omar Bayikra and Moshe Hakadosh Baruch Hu called him in. Come in, come in. Ubevoy Moshe Elohim Moed Adaber Bayishma Es Hashem Koyd. And he heard the voice of Hashem. Umarda Bahaloyska Saneos Omu Yisrael Hakadosh Baruch Hu Bochamo Levana. Hakadosh Baruch Hu created so much: the lights and the sun and the galaxies. Shemir Esalodim Kulam Hu Chopet Shenadik the fun of Neiros. He really wants us to light for him. He doesn't need our light. Such a beautiful marshal and nimsha. Kishachar Beis Hamikdash Nignasa HaMenorah. And when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of the great kedusha in the menorah, it was hidden away. But the lesson is, it's not the way you might think. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes with all his Melo Chol Oretz Kavoido, but in reality what he wants is our Avoida. He wants to see what we are presenting him with. The same idea comes up, the Chofetz Chaim brings out in Parshas Truma, in the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim brings out a beautiful pshat that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'osu li mikdash v'shachanti b'soicham, you'll make for me a room, make for me a home. So Moshe Rabbeinu was nizazeah, he was aghast. How can I make a room? No, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 20 beams here, 20 koshim there. It's not the way you think. This is what will be for me, and I will b'shachanti b'soicham. It's just a small little place I need. It's not the way you think. Similarly says the Medrash, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, bring kol bani lachmi. How much is the food of Hashem? 1,000, 1,000,000 lambs? What is he going to eat? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, keves echad b'boker, keves echad b'tzoraim, an oila in the morning and an oila in the afternoon. That's all. I don't need more than that. I'm not looking for great splendor. That's all. Similarly, the idea comes out when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, brings a kofer nefesh. How many lambs must one bring as kalbonos or chatos for all the things which we've done wrong? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, machatis ha-shekel, a half a shekel. Meaning, his delight is what we can give, as much as we can provide, not in his terms, Kabyokul, but in our terms, our terminology. And that's a beautiful comfort, that one shouldn't be overwhelmed with the avoida that we have to do. Our avoida is appealing, and it's enchanting to him. What we can do, he cherishes our avoida. Just a light in the menorah, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meir Kol HaOlam Kulo. We learn from that a principle, that our efforts are very much chaviv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're very favored to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I saw that Loshen, I thought of the first Rashi in the parasha. Remember the first Rashi in the parasha, when the pasuk says, "Bahaloisra es hanelos," light up the menorahs. And it doesn't say, the Sif Sei Chacham, it doesn't say, "Bahadlikra," it doesn't say when you kindle it, "Bahaloisra." And Rashi makes a diuk on that point. What does it mean, "Bahaloisra"? That it's the duty of Aaron HaKohen. Actually, Aaron HaKohen, all his life, did the menorah. He saw it as a tremendous privilege. He always looked after them, and they lit the menorah all his life. But the Loshen says, Baha'loisacha, meaning when you light it and you put the flame to the menorah, stay there until the light burns, until the menorah burns. Don't move away until you see, says Rashi, that the light is burning. And then, that means Baha'loisacha, lahalot et haner, light the ner itself, lift it up so that the ner has its own koyach, its own energy behind it. That's the mitzvah of Baha'loisacha neiros. Light it yourself. I saw a question in Rabbi Avigdor Nevinson, Shlita, the Rav of the Old City. It's a beautiful maimah. He talks about the Baha'loisra. Many of the points which I'm going to bring, I got inspiration from there, and I added here and there and took away. But some of the points are beautiful. He asked a question on this Rashi. What's the chiddush in Rashi? Whenever you light a nail, you must always wait until the flame burns. You don't move away. There's no chiddush in telling me Baha'loisra saneiros, that you must burn it and make sure that the nair is burning up. Of course it is. Every light is like that. There must be something much deeper, much more profound in the idea of lighting the night, that it must, Baha'loisra, it must light up. What is it? What's behind it? It's obvious you must light it until it's burning, and then you move away. Baha'loisra saneiros. And he answers in the following way with a little bit of a background, which is a beautiful point. All the kalim in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, were all there to show the profile of a man in Avodas HaKodesh. The menorah, which is on the south side, represented Torah. The Ner Mitzvah, the Torah, or the Loshen is called Harotze Lahachim Yadrim. If you want to become wise, then you must go to the south, because the menorah was on the south. The menorah represents Torah. The Mizbeah HaKatoris represented Avoda. Tikkun Tefilosi, Tikkun Tefilosi Lefonecha. The Ketores is Avoida, is like Tefillah. And the Shulchan represents the Gemilas Chasodim, the Shulchan of a person, Shulchan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is how much chesed a person does, how much he gives out in Orchim, he provides for others. Of course, the Oroin represents a person's Emunah, the Shevesh of all Avoidas HaKadosh, inside the Aser HaSadibos, inside there. So we see that each one of these Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash had a tafkid, and the tafkid was to prompt a person towards his avodah. Now come back to the menorah. What's the lesson in the menorah? he said that the halos masaneiros, you must light the menorah in Torah, meaning teach Torah until the flame comes up. Lighting the menorah means when you're passing on Torah, when you're learning Torah, the flame must light itself. Not the person who's lighting it, but the purpose of Lilmoid with the Lamed means that you must light up, ignite the person who's hearing it, or you must be ignited by the Torah. And from there we learn a tremendous Yisoid. The whole purpose of Limud HaTorah is to think for oneself and to build oneself up from the point that you have learned and understood. Meaning, light the menorah, lights the light, and the light flame must come up. So it's the duty of a Rebbe, of a parent, or in a Chavrusa, help the other person to be ignited, to be enlightened, to be inspired. And that's the lesson which comes out of the menorah in Torah. Meaning, that's what's behind Rashi. Because the menorah represents Torah, and the person must be ignited himself, must be lit up himself. And that's the message. Remember reading of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the Chassadic Livrach, always used to say, the tafkid of a Talmud is to add on, ten lechochom v'yechkam oi, tell a chochom something, v'yechkam oi, he must develop the point. Hoida la tzadik v'yosif lekach, the posik, it's peyot tes, posik tes in Mishlei. Give him something, but Yosef Lekha, you must add for yourself. You must develop the point. And therefore, I'm thinking that after Shavuos, after the corona, we come out of quarantine. We tried as much as we could to build ourselves up. But the requirement in Torah is to develop one's internal mechanism more, to understand for yourself exactly what's going on in the Torah. And that's the purpose of Limud Torah, to take it further and to try and understand yourself exactly what the point is. It's not enough just to rattle off and to say off. We find, for example, there are many different like ways of learning. There's a way of Reb Chaim Brisker, there's a way of the Chazon Ish, there's a way of Reb Shimon Shkop. There are different limudim. A lambda knows different ways, but that's not really the tafkid. The tafkid is not to be a parrot to say out what Reb Chaim said. It's the purpose, it must be yours which you say out. Like the menorah is Torah, the light must, the flame must come up. You must have the flame. You must develop. We must pick it up ourselves from what we're learning. It's not enough just to hear it. I remember hearing a beautiful story about two yeshiva bachim who came to visit the Issa Zalman Meltzer on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. And they came in and sat in the sukkah, and the Issa Zalman turned around to the first Talmid, Reuven Nagid, and said, Reuven, tell me a Dvar Torah. And Reuven told over a Dvar Torah, and in the middle, the Issa Zalman turned around and said, yes, I also saw it. I saw it in the Rashba. Very nice what you're saying. Now, Shimon, what do you have to say? And asked Shimon to say it about that. And Shimon said something over. And he let him say it all the way through. And Reuven was aggravated. Terribly. He said, Rebbe, he also took it from the Rashba. He took it from somewhere. He took it from an Achron. But Issa Zalman said, of course I know. Of course he took it. But Reuven, it was something different when Shimon said it to where you said it. When Reuven said it, you said it over, it sounded like a parrot. You were just reciting the Rashba. When Shimon said it, it was his Torah. He was saying it out. It wasn't just a recital of what the Rashba had said. Meaning, it must be yours that you're saying out. You must imbibe it. And it has to come from you, rather than just reciting something out. And that's the purpose of it. And that's the lighting the flame. When everyone learns something, it's all very well just to repeat something very nice and say it over. It's not enough. Not enough to repeat it. One must digest it and swallow it, and it must be your own flame which comes up. I remember once in a shir with the Barry Finkel, Zechotai Gizbocha. In the middle of the shir, I asked the kasha, and the Barry turned, oh, wonderful kasha. The Barry was so amazed by the kasha. I said, I felt so guilty. I said, Rebbe, it's not my kasha. I saw it in the Rashba. And the Barry's reaction was, wonderful, wonderful. Always say out the Torah of the Rashba. I said, but Rebbe, it wasn't my, no, he said, but it's if you said it at this point, no? Of course, we always get it, he said. Everything comes from somewhere. We learned it in the Sefer, we saw it in the Rishon. It's not, none of it, hardly any of it is ours. We don't come up with our own thoughts. But when we do look at something, it must be our own thoughts which develop it. And that's, I think, the message of the Behalois Les Haneirois, that Menorah, the Menorah represents Torah, and Torah is the flame. And the flame, like Rashi says, must be developed by itself. Where does it come from, Rabbi Yisai? Where do we get this from? Perhaps it's from our first Zeda. Our Zeda Avraham Avinu had this trait inside him. Let me read out to you from the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the beautiful Rambam. The Rambam says, Kevin shenigmal eisan zeh, when Avraham Avinu was 3 years old, he'd stopped nursing. Hitchil l'shoteit b'dayto, he began to think for himself. He was a child. But maybe it's the sun, maybe it's the moon, maybe it's the fire. Who is the creator of everything? He didn't know. Cotton, he was a little boy. Listen to these words. They're beautiful words of the Rambam. This is where we all come from. This is Avraham Avinu. This is our founding father here. How did he turn into becoming what he became? He thought by day and by night. And it was a wonder. How can the world keep on just going over day to night, winter to spring to summer? How can everything just move? Who's running the show? He can't be going by itself. He had no one teaching him anything. No one ever gave him any instruction. No one turned around to him and said, Avraham, you're doing very well. You're learning so well. It's such a pleasure. No one said it. No one gave him any physic. He just was by himself and he thought it through. He was living in Ur-Kastin with all the other Tipshim and his father's mother. And he was also Avraham. Oh, this is the Rambam, the Libai Meshaite. But he always was thinking. Ad Shehisik Derech Ha'emes Behavim. That's a beautiful word. Kabat Sedek Nidat Hanachoina. Did he reach the point of Emuna with his own straight thinking, his own Yashus? He worked it out by himself. Isn't that really what it's all about when it comes to Limud Torah? In reality, we have to work it out by ourselves. It's not really just in Torah. In Tefillah as well. We're not parrots. We're not supposed to just chant and say the words. I just saw recently a beautiful moshul of the Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. In one of the passages just recently, he said that if our Kodesh Baruch Hu just wanted the word said, we could hire 100 robots, get them to sit inside the shul, and you'll turn the robots on at a certain time, they'll all shockle, they'll all say the words, and they'll all dive in at the same time, and the robots will do it whatever we want, and we have people there saying the words. That's what a beautiful marshal, I think the Miller, beautiful marshal. In other words, if he just wants the words being said, so we'll say the words. That's not the point. The point is that our Kodesh Baruch Hu wants our minds, our thoughts, on our own ideas as we come out and say it. And that's the tachlis of it. We should come out and develop. That's the flame. And the flame is the Torah, which is what the Menorah represents. It's interesting that Rav Levinson brings this point out. Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yoshua were both Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Interesting. And yet we find that Rabbi Elezer, many of his Piskei Dinim and his followers are Lefi Beis Shammai. And Rabbi Yeshua was like Beis Hillel. How can that be? They only had one Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. How can it be that Rabbi Elezer went one way and Rabbi Yeshua went the other way? The answer is because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai taught them and they then carried the point further themselves. Rabbi Elezer leaned towards Rabbi Beis Shammai and Rabbi Yeshua went towards Beis Hillel. Different. The same thing was by Rabbi Akiva, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Is it Machlokes in the Gemara in Bob Metzia between Mashi and Tosfos? If Rabbi Akiva is like Beis Shammai or like Beis Hillel? In other words, both. We don't know. Sometimes one way, sometimes the other. But he thought, but he was only a Talmud of Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Meaning the need to develop it by yourself, to think it further. That's the flame. That's the purpose of them. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's the moshul of the menorah. The menorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, do it yourself. Not my life. I provide the life. But you provide the life. I want you to do it. And that's the purpose of Lahalo Saner, the Shal Heves, the flame should come up. And that's the point I think we should try and get to. There is, if you have a chance to look at the Vilna Gaon on Mishlei, Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis. And the Gaon explains the Pasuk, Lahakshiv Lachochma Oznecha, Hate Libacha Lachtavuma. And the Gaon explains there are two stages in learning Torah. The first is to gather all the information together. Lahakshiv Lachochma Oznecha. To pay attention and pick up every word that is said. That's the oizen, to hear everything clearly. That's the hakshiv. Tata libacha latavuna, and then process the thought into the lay. Tata libacha latavuna, says the Gaon, ad buria, until full clarity. One must think, listen, and then clarity obviously is in your own mind, but you understand it yourself. to move it over into the lathe, which is really why it says, well, you had one way I show a knife in the Tavakayon al Lavovecha, isn't it? It doesn't say al Mashavai Serva in Shema. Al Lavovecha. Lavovecha means you thought it for yourself. Your own mind came to the conclusion. That's the catalyst of it, to move it over, Lavovecha. Then the Gaon says three words at the end. I remember in the Shia of the Barry Finkel, who used to go to Motzi Shabbos to him with a Shia on Mishle. And look at the end of the Pasuk there, the Gaon says like this, you understand so much, and Shema Beliboy Shel Rabboi, what was in the heart of the, but the Rebbe never said it. Beliboy Shel Rabboi. The Rebbe never said something, but you listened so carefully, you understood what the Rebbe wanted to say, but he didn't say it. Such a beautiful point. That's called taking, you thought it through for yourself. That's called learning something and developing the point with one's own koichus. That's the Shalheves, that's the Menorah, and that's the Tachlis in Torah. There is, in the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Omed Aleph, the Gemara explains that when it comes to studying Torah, you should divide our time up into three. Yishalesh es hes shnoisav. It means a third in Torah, a third in Mishnah, and a third in Talmud. Most Rishonim, Rashi, the Rabbeinu Tam, say it means Torah is Tanakh. Torah Nabiim Ksuvim, Torah Shebichsav, as we know. Mishnah is Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. And Talmud means Gemara. That's the opinion of most of Rishonim. But the Rambam, Rabbi Yisai, doesn't say like that. The Rambam says something else, which is very interesting. Listen to what the Rambam, how the Rambam explains what it means, those three. So the Rambam says, Chayav Adam L'Shalish. I'll read out to you. Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph, in Hilchos Talmud Torah. This is what the Rambam says. Chayav L'Shalish es Zman L'Midoso. Shlish Batoyah Shebichsav, Torah Nevim Ksubim. Shlish Batoyah Shebalpeh. What's Torah Shebalpeh? Torah Shebalpeh is Mishnah, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, Rishonim, Achronim. It's all to explain Torah Shebalpeh. Anything in Torah Shebalpeh. So what's Talmud? What is Talmud? According to the Rambam, Yovin v'yaskil achris dover mei shisoi. Your own thoughts in what you learn. V'yotzi dover midover. And you compare one thing to another. Yidame dover, the yodin v'midos ha-toyrod. And you yourself think it out. Interesting. That's the Shalheves. No? According to the Rambam, Talmud is not Gemara, like Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Talmud is that you yourself, mitzvoinein v'daitoi, lahovin dover midover. One's own thoughts. Mishnah is everything. Is Mishnah, Gemara, everything. Everything to do with the Torah Shebaalpeh. But Talmud is more. The Rambam ends up, the yifne kol yomav the Talmud bilvad, the fi roichav liboi the yoshuv daito. How beautiful, what a beautiful thought. Meaning that how you worked it out with your own understanding, that's what Talmud is. Such an incredible point that is. It means in the Rambam, it's not enough just to learn Gemara. One must stand back and think, what did I learn? What did I understand? What did I hear from this year? What did I pick up? It's my own thoughts. I was thinking, maybe that's really the opening words of Tehillim, which we have. Who's the happiest of men? Ashrei ha'odom, asher lo yoshav b'meishav leitzim, didn't sit in the company of leitzim, v'derech chatoim lo yomad, and he didn't stand in the company of chatoim. Three things. Let me just check on the posit. I just forgot the posit from the beginning. He didn't go in bad company. He removed all the weeds. He didn't get into bad company. Then the next posit says, he in besoros Hashem chetzai, ubesoroso yege yomam v'loyla. Interesting. He spent his time in Torah, and then Ubesoy Rosoy, I remember the late Gurwitz in Gateshead, the Chassadik Bracha used to say, Ubesoy Rosoy, Yege, his own Torah, Yege, what you thought of what was going on. Not what the Gemara said, Ubesoy Rosoy, it is Torah Sashem Chetzot, Ubesoy Rosoy means one's own Torah, which you develop, your own thoughts. Whatever stage we're at in learning, wherever we're up to in learning, whatever, but it doesn't matter whether you're on a dauga of a great lambdan or just beginning. Whatever, you stand back and think, did I understand it? Was I clear about what I heard? And that's the point. That's the Talmud according to the Rambam. The Rambam learns Talmud is one's own thoughts. I'd like to share with you a maimer of Rav Volba, which I once saw. It's in Alei Shor in Ma'areches HaTorah. I think it's one of the last ma'amoim he has. He asks a wonderful question from the Vilna Gaon. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that the world was created for 6,000 years. 6,000 years means that 2,000 years was the Tohu Vavohu. The first 2,000 years was just a waste, almost, if you can say such a thing, until Avraham Avinu came around. Tohu Vavohu, the first 2,000 years, there was nothing really of creation of importance. The world was created, but it was empty. There was nothing there yet. There was no Tohu yet. Avraham Avinu was born in 1948. At the year 52, when he was 52 years old, which is the year 2000, he gave his first shiur. So he started to promulgate Torah from the age of 52, which was the year of 2000. And then the next 2000 years, says the Gemara, was the years of Torah, from Avraham Avinu until Rav Yehuda HaNasi, when he closed the Mishnah. That's the second 2000 years. Those are the years of Torah. 2000 Torah Vavayu, 2000 Torah, and the last 2000 are Yemei HaMashiach, says the Vilna Gaon, meaning after the year 4000, there isn't really any Torah as such, because it's now the time of Mashiach. If that's the case, asks Rav Volba, so what happened? And the Gaon himself included, and all the Rambam, the Rishonim, Rambam, Rashi, all Shulchan, what did they do? There wasn't a time of Torah. Torah had ended as such. The 2,000 years of Torah ended with Rav Yehuda HaNasi, who was the last of the Tanoim. So what do you do with all the Amoraim and the great Rabbonim, the Rambam and the Rishonim? They're not in the years of Torah, because Torah as such ended at 4,000. And the next 4,000, from 4,000 to 6,000, are the times of Mashiach. What does it mean? And Rav Volba explains like this. After the year 4,000, individuals came along and strived themselves to understand what the Torah was. They worked very hard, and they brought out their own chidushim in Torah, which they had developed from the first 2,000 years, from the year 2000 to 4,000. They then developed the idea. On what basis? On this basis, the Gemara at the end of Nida says, "Ma yaseh odom v'yechkam." What does a person do to become wise? What do you do in order to become wise? Says the Gemara, they asked of Hananiah, then Yeshua, what do you do to become wise? The Anshei Alexander. Hananiah turned around and said, with Yeshua ben Hananiah answered and said as follows, Yasek v'toyra v'yamai v'shoyra. Spend a lot of time in the base of Medrash, and don't spend so much time in the office. Spend more time in learning Torah. And they answered with Yeshua ben Hananiah, and they said to him, Habe osu kein v'lo itzlichu. Many did that, and they never became Talmidei Chachamim. Said with Yeshua ben Hananiah, no. Yevakesh rachamim l'misha chochma shelo. Sh'Hashem yiten chochma. He gives chokhmah. In other words, by searching for oneself and asking what the Torah means, Hashem gives chokhmah. By that bakosha, that tefillah, and that personal initiative of all the people after Rav Yehuda HaNasi, that's where the Torah came from. In other words, the Torah as such finished by Rav Yehuda HaNasi. That was the end of the period of Torah. In the times of Mashiach, anything which was developed, the Vilna Gaon himself included, must be from the initiative and the thoughts of the individuals, the Chofetz Chaim, the Kiva Eger, Chassam Sofer, the Rishonim, they themselves pursued the Torah, and therefore they were zoicha to Siyata Mishma, to be able to think it through for themselves. And that's why we have the Shulchan Aruch, that's why we have the Rambam. The period of Torah as such had ended, but it didn't end. And that's what Rav Volba is mentioning here. The initiative and the imagination and the enterprise of people after the year, that's where from their tefillah, from their own personal searching in Torah. And that, my boy, say, is the Shalheves. You see it in action after the years 4000. You see what happened. It developed and people grew in Torah because they lit their own light. They made sure the light was lighting by themselves, and that's what the Menorah represents. I thought of a marshal, maybe, which might help out. You know, on a computer screen, all around the screen, there are icons. The icons are tiny little dots on the screen. But if you press one of the icons, a whole file comes out. A long detailed file comes out. Torah is full of icons all over the place. There's Musa, there's Chesed, there's Halacha, there's many, many icons on the screen. When you press the icon, you must have brought out your own file. And that is what it means. You developed a file. I have my own file on the Bracha Basher Yotza. I have my own file on the Mitzvah Tznius. I have my own file on Tefillah. In other words, Tefillah is there on the screen. But to develop it, one must make one's own file. And that, I think, is the act. And that's the Shal Heves. And that's the message behind the Haloscha of the Nermus Light itself. The Maisa, maybe, to be fair, we should look at the other side, to bring the other side. But Nevinsal mentions this, and I'd like to bring it to you. Beautiful point, he says. What about those who don't light their own flame? What happens to those people who continue on in a regular schedule, but never really become ignited by themselves? They never really have a flame. They are involved in Torah mitzvahs, but not on the basis of their own initiative. And there's a posset which he brings at the time of Bias HaMashiach from Spania. It's Spania, Perek Aleph, posset Yud Beis. Listen to this posset. It's so perfect in description. It's the wonderful metaphor which is given of those people who just drift. They drift, but they're really not really pursuing their own flame. They're not developing for themselves. He's talking about the times of Mashiach. At that time, Achapes es Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will search through Yerushalayim b'neiros. You know, chipus b'ner, like Ner B'dikas Chometz. Why a ner? Because the ner searches and scrutinizes every nook and cranny. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will search us at the time of Mashiach b'neiros. He'll search and scrutinize every nook and cranny in our neshamas. U'pokadati al ha'anoshim, and I will visit on the people. Which people? Listen to this moshul. Hakoifim al shimrehem, who float on their sediment of the wine. Ha'omim duvorom, who say in their hearts, lo yetiv Hashem lo yirol. The meaning of floating on the sediment is like the wine on top of the curds, on top of the grapes at the bottom. It floats on the top, but it doesn't really do anything itself. It just sits there, sits on top of its on the grapes underneath, and it just sits there. But it doesn't move anywhere. It doesn't go anywhere. It just sits there. It doesn't really mature. It just sits there on the wine itself. Says the Mephoshim here. Those are the people who are happy. They go to a minyan every morning. They go to a daf yomi every day. They do everything right. They sit on their wealth. They sit on their laurels. They sit on their tranquility, but they're not moving at all. They're not moving. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, those people, they will not drink their own, their houses will be destroyed, they will not drink their own wine. Because they're so content and they're so placid and they're so, and there's no enthusiasm in themselves. They just drift along. He listens to a Daf HaYomi Shir, but never hears, understands what he's saying. Just dabs in shul, says the words out, gives chesed, all the hechsherim in the house are wonderful. And that's how the Mephoshim explained it. There's nothing really there. It's just a mundane ritual. It's a regular schedule. It's very nice. It's very good. But there's no flame. There's no flame behind it. There isn't anything there. It's an awful way of looking at it. But without personal, the person stands in shul and davens and shuffles and says the words and goes out. And, you know, he looks for a better job and looks for money for his children. It's a wonderful life. It's very stable. But there's no flame. There's no development. There's no enterprise. And Rav Nevinson makes another point. I wouldn't usually get into it, but he mentions this point, a little political. Here in Eretz Yisrael, you have a description of people who are Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. You have someone called a Haredi, and you have someone called a Dati. What's the difference between the two? In reality, if it's only a name, it doesn't mean anything. Dati is Haredi. No, it's the same thing. If he's Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, you may as well call them apples and oranges. It doesn't make any difference on the name. The name doesn't mean anything. But if Dati means definitely not Haredi, then there's a major, major problem here. Because Dati means he's not Haredim. HaHaredim Mishma Devar Hashem means you're nervous, you're anxious, you're troubled. You make sure you're Haredi. You can have a Dati who's very Haredi. You can have a Haredi who's really very Dati. In other words, the growth is the essence. The flame is the essence. The words don't mean anything. Dati, if Dati means Haredi, then it's Dati. If it's Haredi and it's only Haredi, then, and it's, if it's only dati, then there's nothing to it. It means the searching, the charedim mishma davar Hashem. The moshul is a beautiful moshul example of a, in Hilchos Shabbos, a keli rishon and a keli sheni. A keli sheni never boils. If you take hot water and put it in the keli sheni, it won't mavasho anything there. A keli sheni is not mavasho. A keli rishon is mavasho. You're not allowed to put anything in a keli rishon, which was on the flame, because a keli rishon has its own heat, its own generator. It worked by itself. A keli rishon is mavasho. A keli sheni is not mavasho. And that's the point. A person has to be a keli rishon, his own flame, not a keli sheni. Interesting thought that when the Nochash came to Chava, he managed to entice Chava. Why? She was a keli sheni. She heard from Adam. She didn't hear from Hashem. Adam heard from Hashem. The Nochash never tried to tempt Adam because he was a keli rishon. Chava he could get. She was a keli sheni. And that's the reason. There was no light in her. She had heard the news. She had heard the report, but she didn't develop it by herself. And that was the difference between them. I was thinking, I don't know, those who come to my shiurim often and those who listen, but there is really one story in the Gemara which personifies this, I think, in the most beautiful way. Those who heard me before have heard this before, but it's the most wonderful story in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which really puts this whole shiur into one place. Unclus was from the family of the Caesars, and he converted to Judaism, and he was a major embarrassment to all the Rome in the dynasty. Everybody was astonished. He left the family of the Caesars and went off to Yerushalayim and studied Torah, and it was a tremendous embarrassment. And Caesar was so anxious and distraught, he sent a gudna. A gudna means a battalion of soldiers to bring Unclus back. And Unclus sat and discussed with these soldiers. And they all converted. And I read in one of the Mephoshim, a gudna is 300 soldiers. 300 soldiers converted when they meet Unclus, and they didn't go back home. They stayed there, and they converted to Yiddishkeit. So Caesar said, this is terrible. I must send another. He sent another gudna, another 300 soldiers. And he told them, under no circumstance, do not talk to this man. Just bring him back. Just don't discuss anything with him. They came to Unclus, and they were about to drag him back to Rome. And Unclus turned around and said, do you mind if I just say something to you? He said, what do you want to say? He said, it's interesting, said Unclus. You know, like in the army, the private holds the light for the sergeant. The sergeant holds the light for the lieutenant. The lieutenant holds the light for the colonel. The colonel holds the light for the chief of staff. The chief of staff, who does he hold the light for? So he doesn't hold the chief of anybody. He is the king. He is the leader. Said the Unclus to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself holds the light for all the people who he looks after. Hashem holech lifneihem hayom, when they left Mitzrayim at Yamsuf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lit the light. He looked after Klal Yisrael. All 300 converted. It was lit. Another 600 now we have. Caesar got so upset and distraught. He sent another 300 soldiers, a good man. And he told them, just bring him back. Don't listen to him. Don't talk to anything. Don't say anything. They arrived at Unclus' base of Medrash, where he was sitting and learning, and they dragged him back. And as he went out the door, he looked, he touched his hand on the mezuzah and smiled. And he said, what's that on the door? So they said, you tell us what it is. He said, I'll tell you what it is. Usually a king always sits inside and the servants sit outside protecting him. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually sits outside and we sit inside. And that's what the mezuzah represents. And they converted. That means 900 yeshiva bachurim now became yidden. Now 900 converts. That's the whole base of Medrash in the Meir Yeshiva. No, it's an incredible amount of numbers here. 900 bachurim, 900 yeshiva bachurim. And the last words of the Gemara, wonderful. Lo shoda oy gudna. Caesar never sent any more. He lost already 900 soldiers, no more. The question which Reb Chaim Kamil asks on this, which is a wonderful question. Tell me, where did Unclus pick all this information up to be such a great Makare? Where did he get it on from? Where did Unclus come from? He had grown up in the palace. He'd seen gladiators. He'd been entertained on trips with the Romans and all that it meant, the baths and everything. He'd grown up in a completely goyish atmosphere. He had nothing in his life. Where did he possibly learn anything from? How did he know all these points in such a convincing manner that he was able to convert 900 people? Where did it come from? The answer is, Unkus thought it out by himself. He learnt the psukim of Kriyas Yam Suf and visualized it, and he lit his own flame on it. He lit his own flame on Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore he was able to tell them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who Yishmolcha v'tzeisla v'yad, he stands outside in God's Klal Yisrael, the mezuzah, he is the one who sheds the light. Unkus on his own reached this point. And that's the point. That's the claim. That's the memorial. Torah needs a personal claim and personal thought to think it out. I don't know. I was brought up where I come from. I was brought up on Shakespeare. And I just end some beautiful words of Shakespeare, which I think sum it up. This, in Hamlet, there's a line, I think, which Polonius says, "This above all to thine own self be true. And as the night follows the day, thou canst not then be false to any man." Such beautiful lines. Not to be false to any man, as night follows the day, to thine own self be true. Isn't that the case, Rabbi say in Torah? To thine own self be true. To think for oneself what Torah means. If you excuse me by bringing such a reference from Shakespeare, I was brought up with these sort of lines. But that's really what the flame is all about. The flame means that after the corona and after Shavuos, we should be able to develop and think for ourselves. Like the Rambam says, Talmud is one's own thoughts. That's the flame. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, Pashtus from the Menoila. It's true, I provide all the light, but you must provide the light. And the light means Torah, the way we understand it, what the light means. That's what it means to light up the light. And that's the message behind the Rambam, the message behind, I think, with this Azama, with the story of the Bachur. One must think it for themselves. When you're lying in bed at night and you're thinking about what you learned, when you're walking in the street, just to mull it over, to open your own file on the screen, to open it up and think it through, then one begins to grow, and in the Rambam, that's called Talmud. I wish you all Hatzlocha and a good Shabbos.
Thank you.
Good Shabbos. Shabbos.
Shabbos.